From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, I'm Matt Baskin, in for Arun Roth. Welcome to Consider This, from Boston. Natural gas is used in more than half of Massachusetts households, and in that gas is methane, itself a powerful greenhouse gas. A new study from scientists at Harvard and BU says the amount of methane that's leaking into the atmosphere in Boston is 6 times higher than estimates used by the state's Department of Environmental Protection. GBH Radio's Craig Lamald is here to talk with us about the research and what it means for the climate. Hey, Craig.
Hey, Matt.
So, first of all, how bad is methane for the environment?
Well, methane turns into CO2 when it's burned, but when it escapes into the air before being used in something like a furnace or a hot water heater, it has more than 80 times the power to warm the climate than CO2 does in its first 20 years in the atmosphere. So keeping that kind of release of methane from happening is hugely important for the environment.
Certainly sounds like it. So how did these scientists actually go about measuring how much methane is in the city's atmosphere?
Well, the researchers installed sensors on the top of buildings at Boston University, and there was another one in Copley Square, and they compared those recorded emissions to results from 3 spots outside of the city. The sensors ran continuously from 2012 to 2020. And this is different from how it's usually done, which is more of like a bottom-up approach where they estimate how much they think is leaking from pipelines and appliances. And as you said, they found the amounts of methane that are leaking into the atmosphere are 6 times higher than the bottom-up approach that the utilities and the DEP usually use. One thing that's interesting is they also measured a gas called ethane, which is not a greenhouse gas, but is emitted along with the methane in natural gas. So they could use that sort of as a marker to calculate how much of the methane they found really comes from the natural gas. And the study also found no change in emissions over the 8 years that they were measuring this.
Now, utility companies are required to fix leaky pipelines, are they not?
Yeah, they are. And I think that's why, you know, they were expecting to see that the amount of methane in the atmosphere was going down, but they didn't see that. You know, state laws passed in 2014 and 2018 are requiring those gas companies to repair any pipeline leaks that they find in a timely way. But the scientists I talked to said it's like a game of whack-a-mole. I talked to Marianne Sargent of Harvard, who's one of the study's authors.
The infrastructure is just so old that every time you patch one leak, another one is popping up kind of just as quickly. And the gas companies released their repair data as well. And you can see that, you know, even with these laws passed, they're still getting just as many new leaks each year.
But she said the pipelines are not the only problem. The data they got also shows the gas leaks are coming from other sources. The pressure in the pipelines is relatively constant, so emissions shouldn't increase as the consumption goes up, like in the wintertime when we use natural gas to heat our homes. But Marianne Sargent told me they found nearly half of the total emissions they saw did go up and down based on seasonal changes in consumption.
And so this points to sources such as things in your buildings beyond the meter. So your boilers, your furnaces, water heaters. It could possibly be from the transmission sector, from meters or compressing stations.
As you said, this is an area that needs a lot more study to better understand how to target where those losses are really coming from.
Now, what do the scientists say should be done? The scientists behind this study say should be done to reduce methane emissions.
Yeah, I talked to Lucy Hutera of Boston University, and she talked to me about how natural gas has been sold to us as a relatively clean energy source that's going to be transitional until we can get to something other than fossil fuels. And she said this research on methane leaks really shows we need to do more to speed that transition up.
We've been trying to address this problem, and I think in Boston we've been trying more aggressively than in many other locales. And this isn't a good news story of the policies are working beautifully, we solved the problem, but it's really highlighting that we have more work to do. And when we think about our climate goals for the city and for the state, the methane problem can't be swept under the rug.
She says now is the time to aggressively focus on all the alternatives, things like solar, wind, geothermal, and what needs to be done to improve efficiency of all this.
Well, Craig, thanks for this fascinating and somewhat sobering stuff. Appreciate you being with us.
You're very welcome.
That's GBH's Craig Lamont. Before we go, I should tell you what else is up. Boston officials are continuing to move people out of the Mass and Cass area following an executive order from Acting Mayor Kim Janey enforcing a city ordinance against camping and other temporary shelters on public ways. But as of yesterday afternoon, there were still dozens of encampments in place. One man, Ronald Gatiz, told reporters he doesn't want to be living at Mass and Cass, but he also doesn't want to go into a homeless shelter.
I don't want to be here. I don't want to live on the streets. I don't want to live in a tent. I want to live in a house like everybody else.
In a statement, city officials say no person will be asked to remove their tent without first being offered temporary housing. And Janey says the removal process will not criminalize people for being unsheltered or for struggling with addiction or mental illness.
The last thing any of us want to do is to re-victimize or traumatize individuals who are in need of support and services.
Janey says her office is still working on its plans to get people out of the area. For his part, Governor Charlie Baker says he supports a proposal for a new courtroom and addiction treatment center at the nearby Suffolk County Jail to help process people living in the encampment. Suffolk County Sheriff Steve Tompkins is setting up the courtroom at the jail where people with outstanding warrants can go before a judge with some diverted into addiction treatment. Here's Baker.
You can't use a traditional court-type process for this. You need to come up with something that recognizes the serious and significant physical and, in some cases, mental health issues that these folks are dealing with.
Meantime, local shelters and treatment beds have been setting aside space to help in the effort to clear the encampment. Lydia Downey leads the Pine Street Inn, the city's largest shelter provider. She says she thinks the city is trying hard to make things work along Mass and Cass.
You know, you have to do two things. You have to work with people one-on-one and help them find a path. And then you have to strategically work on what is the system we want. We need to throw as many things on the wall and see what sticks and what will work for people, because there's no perfect system out there for this level of addiction.
Downey says she's especially concerned about cold weather ahead. And finally, the two candidates vying to be the next mayor of Boston shared their own thoughts on the situation at Mass and Cass. In a mayoral debate last night, City Councilor Anissa Asabi-George said she disagrees with Tompkins' plan to house people with substance use disorder in the planned addiction treatment center in his jail.
We have to think innovatively about this crisis, but locking up people who are not well, who are sick, is not the answer to this crisis.
And for her part, Councilor Michelle Wu said she supports getting people into housing quickly and wants to see a public health focus rather than law enforcement leading the charge. The mayoral election is set for a week from today. From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, the greatest combo in news, I'm Matt Baskin. Arun Roth is back tomorrow. Be well. I want to tell you about Nova Now, a new bi-weekly podcast from the PBS science series Nova. Join host Alok Patel as he explores the science behind the biggest headlines of the day. Now is more critical than ever to distinguish fact from fiction and find science-based answers to the most pressing questions of our time. Subscribe to Nova Now wherever you get your podcasts.